It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew as we continue this wonderful study, the 27th chapter, and we're going to begin reading with verse 35, and we're going to read down to verse 44. So if you'd please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27, beginning to read with verse 35. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to call us, the number is 217-440-4402. That's 217-440-4402. And if you would like to check out our website, it's parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one will work just fine. I'm glad that you've joined us today. Let's get right to the study. Matthew chapter 27, verse 35. And they crucified him, parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, "They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots, and sitting down they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.' Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, 'That thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross.' Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and the elders, said, 'He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.' The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth." Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you for your precious word. I ask that you would guide and lead us through this study today. It is always a pleasure, it's a joy, to be able to look to your word and study it verse by verse. It's such a joy, Lord, so please, guide and lead us. Show those that do not know you as their Lord and Savior down that path to the cross. Show them upon that cross, Father, your Son died and took all the world's sin away. But we need to come by faith, faith alone, not by any works, not by anything short of just faith, just believing that Jesus died on the cross, accepting the fact that we're sinners, acknowledging that, and then saying yes to the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit will show you the way. So, Father, please, that we allow the Spirit to have its will and control of each life today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we looked at that 35th verse, we've really kind of taken our time to look at this study, but they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets. And they parted my garments among them, and they upon his vesture did they cast lots. And so we can look at a couple other verses of Scripture, and because, as always, we look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, to really get the full picture here, as each has their own direction concerning the people that they're speaking to. And so here, if we're to chapter 19 of the Gospel of John, And we'll read verse 23. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from top throughout. And so verse 24, they said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Of course, they didn't know that. Which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now, when we're looking at this, we find that there, I'm sure, were much more than four soldiers, but probably there was a ranking, they held a certain level, that it confined them to just four. And that's the reason that it speaks of these four soldiers, because I'm sure there were multiple soldiers there. And so it must have been by some kind of ranking that they held a certain position. So now it became four. And so those four, they took and each one took a part, and that's what they did there. But then when it came to the coat, it had no seam. It was a special made coat covering. And so they cast lots, or they gambled for it. And so let's go back to Psalms 22:18. Got a lot of verses, wonderful verses of Scripture here. Psalms 22:18. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Isn't that something, how that so many years before it was prophesied exactly what would happen? Parted my garments among them, but cast lots upon my coat, upon my vesture. Back to verse 36, and then we come to quite a question here. And it said, and sitting down, they watched him there. Who were they? Remember, it was Passover, and so the city was very busy. The people from all around the known country would come to Jerusalem for Passover, and it was a requirement if you were a Jew, an adult male Jew. And so, you know, the question comes, who were they? The multitudes, as it speaks of, and so we have the Jews or proselytes, those that had come from other regions and areas, and we have the religious rulers, those that stood in judgment and cast their decision upon him. We also have the disciples. The disciples were present. They kind of fled at the trial, which was a very short time before. But it seems that they somewhat gathered anyway, some of them anyway. And then we have the Roman soldiers. We're not sure how many of those were present. And we know, according to the scripture, that Jesus' mother was there. And we also know that John the Beloved was present, because the Lord Jesus spoke to him and to his mother concerning who would take care of his mother. So that's just a few, and we don't have much as far as the specification of who these people really were, but we do know those were the folks that surrounded the cross and watched him die. There is three soldiers that we're going to take just a minute and kind of take a look at. One of them won the lottery. He did the gambling, and he gained the seamless coat of the Lord Jesus. It would seem at the time that it was much more important to have gained some material item than to be worried about his soul or to be paying any attention to the Son of God as he hung on the cross and died. And so, again, he was more concerned about earthly things than he was concerning anything pertaining to spiritual things, things that are important. Doesn't that sound like today? People are much more interested in their worldly items, their things that they have gained through the years, and their big house and their boat and their camper and all those things. What kind of activities can we do this weekend? Where can we go? Leave Friday night, come back late Sunday night. The church is not even in question. Nobody thinks about the need to come and worship the true God, Jehovah, and the very one that has blessed us with so many wonderful blessings. And yet we reject him, we ignore him, we blaspheme his name. It is a sad day and a sad world that we live in when the things of the world are more important, earthy, than much more important than serving and praising the Creator. And the Scripture tells us that we should never, never, never worship the creation more than the Creator. And that's exactly what we do. As we look at these, just three soldiers, the one, again, won the lottery, won, gambled and won and got the coat, okay? There's another one here, and again, there's many, but there's three individual soldiers here that I think need our attention. One committed one of the worst acts that could be committed, and yes, there were soldiers that nailed Jesus to the cross. There were soldiers that lifted him up and placed him down into that hole and stood back and watched him die. But this one, and again, we're going to go over to John 19 to get just a little bit more of what I'm talking about here. John 19, verse 32 through 34. And I can even back up to verse 31. It says, "The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain up on the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day." That does not necessarily mean it was Saturday. It was a high day. And remember, this is the week of the Passover. "And they besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away." You see, they didn't care that they were killing people. They didn't care that they had just crucified the Son of God. But let's not break the rules. The rules, these laws, before the Sabbath began, which in a Jewish calendar, the day starts in the evening. That's the reason that we're talking about here, because as the day progressed, as they hung on the cross, and as we've talked about before, normally that was not a big deal. They just let them hang there and let them suffer for hours upon hours, and they would watch their literally bodies just rot away and watch the vultures come and eat their flesh. That's what they would do. We look at the people today and their life and some of the wicked things that they do. Well, sin is sin, and wickedness has been wickedness forever, and it's never changed. And we can look back to this time when they would crucify the criminals, these wicked criminals they would take out and crucify, and it was so brutal. But because of this high day, they had to get these bodies dead. They had to kill them somehow or other. So they would come and they would break the legs of the criminals, of all three of these criminals. They would break their legs. And that way they could not push up on their feet, as their feet was nailed together to the post of that cross, they would, with agonizing pain, they would push up because that's the only way they could breathe. They could not get a breath otherwise. So we'll break their legs, and that way that'll be the end. So they came down to take care of that. So the pilot, that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Verse 32, I'm in John 19:32. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already, and they brake not his legs. Now, the scripture tells us that not one bone was broken. He might have been brutally beaten, but not one bone was broken. But one of the soldiers, and that's the soldier we're talking about here, with a spear pierced his side, mutilated a dead body. He was dead. He was dead. Now, this confirmed that he was dead. And forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record. His record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that he might believe. There were these things were done, that the scripture might be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. So see, the scripture was fulfilled, but what a brutal, brutal act to take a dead body and choose to slice your sword right through their side. So you see, we have the one that was greedy. He wasn't paying any attention to anything. He got the coat. He was happy. And now that Jesus is officially pronounced dead, his soldier was not satisfied that they had brutally performed enough acts upon the Lord Jesus that he came and had to add to the situation. Why would you do something so cruel and enjoy it? Well, many today, they hate the gospel. They hate the preachers that preach the gospel. They hate the Lord Jesus Christ, and they hate the Word of God. So you see, it's not any different. It's no different. And then we come to the third. Again, I just had three here that's kind of spoken of. And we're going to go to Mark for that one. Matthew, Mark, chapter 15 and verse 39. 15:39. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. Now, we have many soldiers, but we've looked at a total of three now. We looked at the first one that shook the dice or whatever they used to gamble with and won the coat. He was happy. That's all he cared about. Look at the possession he got. And again, the ones that do the execution get this opportunity. And then the second one had the opportunity to come by and and literally watch these three suffer and break the legs of the one on the right, break the legs of the one on the left. But he came to the Lord Jesus, came to the one in the middle. And to help you here, the middle cross was always left for the worst of the criminals. So that's how they looked at the Lord Jesus. They placed him in the middle, and so he was the worst of the three as far as they believed. And when they came to the Lord Jesus, he was already dead, but that wasn't good enough. So he just took his sword and sliced him through. Brutal. And yet there's one that was standing by, and he watched. And by the statement that he publicly made here, it's thought that this soldier was saved. He got saved. He listened to the Lord Jesus. He wasn't consumed with the code. He wasn't consumed with the act of violence. He was listening. It's what you need to do. You need to listen. It's the only way you're going to get saved. Listen. The other two didn't. He did. He listened. Did he get saved that day? He sure could have, because he listened. He listened to Jesus say, "Father, forgive him." He listened to Jesus say to John, "There's my mother. You take care of her." He refused to drink. He listened. So you see, as we look at these three, you know, the first one won the coat but lost the opportunity of wearing the robe of righteousness. The second stained his sword with the blood that could have washed away all of his sin. The third stood by. He watched. He listened. And then he clearly stated, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Only God knows the heart, but what a statement. What a statement. There are several pictures for us, I guess you call them pictures, back here in Psalms chapter 22 concerning this event. Psalms 22 and the very, you know, first verse, but we'll get on over to the crucifixion. And it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring." Those are words that were spoken on the cross. Those are words that this third soldier heard. And let's go on down now to verse 12. It says, "Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gapped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a pottage. My tongue cleaveth to my jaw. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare up on me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. That gives you, and again, that's back in the Psalms. Back in the Psalms. What a sad, sad day. And yet it was a very day that brought life to you and to me. Verse 37. And it says, they set up over his head. I'm back in Matthew 27, I'm sorry. Matthew 27, verse 37. And set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." There was quite a discussion there with different ones. So once again, let's go back. Let's go to Mark. We're in Matthew. Let's go to Mark chapter 15. Verse 26. And the superscription of his accusation was written over the King of the Jews. Look at Luke 23:38. Luke 23:38. And the superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, of Latin, and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And now to John, chapter 19. John 19, verse 19. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." This title then was read, many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. We talked about how close it was to Jerusalem. And it was written in Hebrew and in Greek and in Latin. And then said the chief priests and the Jews to Pilate, "Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, 'I am the King of the Jews.' But Pilate answered, 'What I have written, I have written.'" I enjoy a verse of scripture back in the Old Testament of Zechariah. You'll notice we go to Psalms and different places because it confirms what the Lord Jesus had long said prior to his coming to earth. Zechariah 14. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 9. "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one." I love that verse of Scripture. I love that verse of Scripture. We just have a little bit of time left. We're going to find that there are two thieves crucified with him on verse 38, back in Matthew 27:38. I hope you always keep your hand where we're studying, because I always refer back there constantly. And that way kind of helps you with the speed of getting back and forth. Matthew chapter 27, verse 38. "Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left." And again, as I said, the middle is left for the greatest shame, the greatest transgressor is left in with that section there. So we have two thieves. Now, we just got enough time to go back to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12. Isaiah 53, 12. And I'm going to go ahead and read it because we just got a second to go. "Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made the intercession for the transgressor." Isaiah 53:12. You can look at that a little later. As always, we run out of time. But my dear friend, you need to really think about the Lord Jesus. Come to him, call upon him. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?